So, you know, the Radio Shakespeare Company, we put on our little shows. And in fact, we're Reed Martin and I are working on the workshop production of the RSC's 10th show, the William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged. It's going to open next weekend, and it's great, and we're very proud of our little theater shows. But I have a friend who put on another little show just last Friday, because here in the Bay Area, the Golden State Warriors, for the first time in 40 years, won the NBA championship. And this is a huge, huge event, not only for the Warriors, but for the Bay Area, but more specifically for Oakland, California, which is where I grew up, and is where my good friend Jim McElvain grew up, and he was in charge. I'm going to say single-handedly in charge of the victory parade for the Golden State Warriors that happened just on Friday. It was a magnificent civic achievement, and Jim, you were single-handedly responsible for that. Do I have that right?
I connected the dots and got the hell out of the way.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 446, Planning a Parade. Longtime podcast listeners will by now have completely forgotten the fact that I talked to Jim many years ago about the Lamplighters, a Gilbert and Sullivan theater company in San Francisco. But for your job, what's your job?
I'm the special events coordinator with the City of Oakland, and I've done that for the last 14 years. And I have a marketing background and a television production background, so it lends itself to putting on major civic events, the inauguration of a mayor, music and arts festivals, civic opportunities, honoring our sports teams.
Yes, which is where we come in. So that means, so what does that mean? So you just go, when do you start to go, holy crap, the Warriors are having a great season. We might have to start planning a parade.
Yeah, it was a little surreal because the expectation of the team was doing so well, had an amazing regular season, and then as you recall, the NBA playoffs are 2 months. It's 4 sets of best of 7. Mm-hmm. It just goes on and on and on. And they also knew that, you know, the first date of the finals was early June, and so, you know, we were all kind of pointing toward that. So as each step got a little closer and they beat the Pelicans, and then they beat Memphis, and then they beat Houston, it starts getting more and more serious, and you have to look at this very, very carefully.
Well, but okay, so yes, as they beat all those teams, you go, hey, this might could really happen. Who comes to who? For the City of Oakland, do you go to the Warriors and say, hey, are we putting on a parade, or do the Warriors come to you and say, hey, we might be putting on a parade?
The Warriors never use the P word. They never once said the P word. However,
What word did they use?
They talk about advancing into the playoffs and then the finals and what would happen if, and okay, they're very cagey about it because there's a jinx and you don't want to, you know, get too far ahead and all that. Although what they do, and this is top level management, the Warriors engaged with the same company that did the Giants 3 World Series parades. This Hartman Studios out of Richmond, California, and they are the premier, top flight, major. Austin says I did stuff single-handedly. Absolutely not. It was all Hartman Studios. It was sensational.
But we'll get to exactly what you did later. But okay, so they confer with Hartman Studios.
They sat with Hartman Studios. They go through some preliminary plans. Then there was a time where it made sense to meet with the city because it does take police engagement, engagements on the streets, fire, AC transit, very important because a lot of bus rerouting. I came up with a plan and a thought for a route that they really appreciated and they liked the thinking behind it and all that. The biggest problem that Oakland has, the challenge that Oakland has compared to like San Francisco, is that place to have the rally. You can parade near BART on major streets and have a blast, and it's awesome. It's where's the rally location? So that took a second to figure out where that best rally location would be.
But yet the rally location, and the rally, by that you mean the end of the parade. Where does the parade end?
Right.
And you ended it at the south end, or what direction is this?
The south end.
The south end of Lake Merritt. Lake Merritt is one of Oakland's distinguishing features, and it's a beautiful feature. You know, Gertrude Stein who famously said, "There's no there about Oakland."
And what was she referring to, Austin?
She was referring to Oakland, wasn't she? Oh, what was she referring to?
She was referring to her house that was no longer there.
Oh, really?
So she went back to her neighborhood, and she looked around and said, oh, there's no there.
I never knew that. So I and everybody else has been taking that quote out of context for many years.
It was because of Herb Cain. Herb Cain back in the 60s requoted that, and it sort of got stuck to Oakland as a negative deal rather than just sort of the sense of my childhood is gone, my neighborhood is gone, it's been changed, it's modernized, it's whatever.
Interesting. Well, Oakland has a kind of the redheaded stepchild to San Francisco, the city by the bay, but Oakland is also a city by the bay. It's the other city by the bay. And I should clarify that, you know, you and I grew up in Oakland. Not really. We grew up in a white middle class, upper middle class suburb. But in fairness to us, we were at the low socioeconomic end of that suburb called Piedmont, which is a suburb surrounded by Oakland. But Oakland is our town in terms of certainly the sports teams that we favored growing up, and the Grand Lake Theater, where we both went to see movies growing up, where you saw a movie today, in fact.
Yeah, absolutely right, yeah.
And we're sitting here in Oakland. So this parade, the Warriors Championship was a big deal to both of us, to Reed Martin as well, who has lived and died with the Warriors and the Giants for many years. So getting back to where we were, which was, I would think that Lake Marriott would be the obvious choice. It seems like where you ended up, the south end of the lake, would have been the obvious choice, was it not?
It became obvious after some major reconstruction of the south end of the lake. If people are really intimate with it, I'm not going to bore you with all that, but it had been completely redone 2 years ago. It's calmed a 8-lane mini freeway, and it took over a bit of a parking lot in the front of the Henry J. Kaiser Convention Center, which used to be called the Oakland Arena. The Grateful Dead used to play there, and a boxing arena and all that.
I saw Berkeley Rep play in the little theater down there in an off season.
It's still your buddy Calvin Simmons Theater it's named after.
That's
1,700
right.
seat, beautiful proscenium theater.
Yeah.
So anyway, that the building is unfortunately shuttered, but the parking lot is available, and so they put the stage in the parking lot, and then this new Lake Merritt Boulevard and Amphitheater, which is a 4-acre park at the south end of the lake, was the center of this rally with it kind of going around the edges of the lake. So it was absolutely perfect because the parade ended at that location, the disembarked, they came onto the stage, and it was, if you saw the footage, it was absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it was just glorious seas of blue and gold. But you knew that was a good location, but you didn't know how you were going to make it work?
We were challenged by the fact that we knew there'd be great, great, great teeming crowds. But it was only the logical place that made the most sense, because it's close to BART, it's close to the parade grounds, it's securable, and it was awesome, and it worked extraordinarily well. Here's the important thing about Oakland, which not a lot of people fully realize. 1989, the last championship team in Oakland were the A's. It was also the year of the earthquake.
Yeah.
And so it was just a modest, simple, solemn, celebratory event, but very quiet down at a half-completed Jack London Square. The Raiders went to the Super Bowl in 2002. And no celebration because they didn't win.
Right.
So we really, this is kind of a makeup in many ways in all those years of frustrated sports franchises and teams not making it to the pinnacle.
So to follow this performance analogy, you know, Oakland's been waiting for its opening night a very, very, very long time. And you had talked to me the night before the parade was going to happen about everything that went into it. And it wasn't until the morning of the parade that I went, wait a second, this is the biggest show you or I have ever been involved with. How much does your theater background come into this kind of event planning, or does it?
Oh, it certainly does, because you want to make sure you're presenting a positive, clean, professional presentation to the audience, and the audience of the fans, on behalf of the team, in your city, which is your theater, so everybody looks terrific at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so how you stage a parade, interesting units, and of course it's all about the team and the players on the bus, and a couple of really goofy fun things. Again, if you watch the parade, there were art cars. These are the ones that are seen on the playa at Burning Man and they're blowing fire, and our council members and our mayor on board, and we had MC Hammer with the mayor, and so it brings this whole art culture into it. It's not just kind of a staid stoic thing. So it's that kind of theatrical presentation, and then of course the rally and the stage itself, a lot of boring speeches, and then the players cut loose and they tell some fun stories and they have some fun and their own theatrics. You just put them up there and say, ready, go. If you see the Draymond Green stuff, it's pretty rich.
Hi, everybody. I'm Frank Malacota. I'm the morning anchor at Channel 5, CBS Channel 5, KPIX in San Francisco, and I always listen to the Reduce Shakespeare podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We have 2 weeks left in our reduced 20-city UK tour of the show that started it all, the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised, which runs through July 10th and will be the last chance you'll have to see the RSC in the UK in this year of our Lord 2015. Also, this weekend, you can see me and Reed Martin standing in the back watching the Shakespeare Napa Valley Workshop production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, which opens this Friday night and plays weekends through July 12, 2015 in St. Helena, California. And we have 15 new U.S. tour dates for this fall of 2015, performing in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Virginia, California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, and Kansas. Plus, next April and May of 2016, we'll be performing the official world premiere of the reduced Shakespeare Company production of our 10th stage show, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Jim McElvain, the special events coordinator for the city of Oakland, California, talking about the huge victory parade that celebrated the Golden State Warriors NBA championship.
Was there live music? Was the Tower of Power play? I'm thinking of all of Oakland's greatest bands.
You know, what's interesting about that is that they don't do a lot of live music on those kind of rallies and stuff because the band, frankly, takes up too much room.
Yeah, right.
And to get the gear on and off and all that. And it's all still about the players, the staff, the fans, the management, you know, and that's the focus. And also, the funny thing about the parade is it starts at 10, you want it over by no later than noon, and that includes cleaning the streets because you got buses and cars and people and you got to keep the traffic moving and
that's all that
kind of stuff.
Well, this is where you come in because streets have to be closed. Sanitation people have to be engaged. Additional police, right? Security has to be beefed up. What all goes into... What's the part of your job that you have to do to make this show go on?
And I joked a little bit at the beginning. I was, you know, connected the dots and got out of the way. But that really was the case, is that I know all the police folks, the public works for the sanitation and cleanup, the fire, the folks at Park and Rec. So all those dots had to come together because the Hartman people don't know them. The Warriors don't certainly know them. And so I'm the guy that brought everybody together in one big meeting and started laying it all out. And here's what we're going to do. Here are the couple of dates that probably are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it is notifying the neighborhood. Yeah. And he had to do that very quietly. So he had some... Wow. So there was a large Catholic cathedral right there at the corner of Grand and Harrison, and so you had to tell them without telling them. A major civic celebration may be coming your way. What's going to be happening on these two dates?
And they're not dopes. They know what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
But,
but it's still, they have to keep to themselves.
Right.
They
can't
start broadcasting it. They can't start, you know, going too far down the field. They have to really keep it close and quiet. And then the night of the clinch.
On Tuesday night, when they win the championship.
They win the championship, and so we sent out a bunch of emails saying, here's the route, here's how it affects you, here's the timing, here's the cleanup plan, here's the garages are going to be closed, here's steel barriers, and people are going to show up at 5 in the morning, so just kind of be aware. And they were incredible. Not one complaint from any of the affected buildings. And it's 1.7 miles in downtown Oakland on a Friday morning, you know, and that could affect a lot of things.
They could have. I mean, they'd be horrible jerks and Scrooges to complain about something like this, but...
Remember, people complained about Riley Curry, who was...
Well, why did they complain about her?
The first time when she came onto the podium with her dad, Steph Curry.
Oh.
And complained that she was taking focus away or taking too much time, and I'm on deadline. And some guys, some sports...
Oh, these are journalists.
Okay. Actually voiced this.
Okay.
Actually voiced this. Like, oh, come on. Are you really saying that in English to the world?
Listen, there has been many adorable parts of this championship, and one of them was that Oakland has a place called Children's Fairyland. It's a little mini theme park, reduced theme park, if you will. It was that Walt Disney visited. It was one of Disney's inspirations for Disneyland. They changed their big sign facing the lake to Children's Riley Land in honor of Riley Curry, the 2-year-old toddler daughter of the MVP, Steph Curry. I rattled that off like I was a sports journalist and knew what I was talking about, didn't I? And what was your job? What was your job on the day of the event? Do you've put all the pieces in place and you just push the one domino and knocks everything over and you just sit back and watch, or do you have duties that morning of the parade?
Yeah, I was really fortunate because really Hartman really had it down cold, and I asked the producer, so where do you want me? What's my role? He says, I want you at the head of the parade. We're going to give you a cart. and I want to make sure that I can turn to you in case there's a concern or a problem. Uh-huh. He never had to turn to me. All the pieces worked. The police came and did what they wanted to do. Yeah. The second half of the parade are the street sweepers that come behind to get all the confetti away, and they were staged and ready to go. Right. The fire department were queued up and ready to go. So all that work, he never had to turn to me and go, something's not working, or there's a problem, or whatever. So Oakland's city staff really shined. They really came through. It's so nice not to have to worry about cleaning graffiti, but putting on a parade and cleaning up after parade. Those guys were ecstatic to do the work. Yeah. And it speaks volumes to them and something that they can celebrate and be a part of. And so my role was to drive around a cart, move some people around, watch things, check on a few things, and, you know, have a good time.
Well, and this is a nice change, too, because I'm sure in your job as event planner, you have to kind of plan for some not great events, like when there's Occupy Oakland protests going on, or the deaths of people where you have to stage, you know, people, dignitaries talking about issues. You know, I bet this is a nice change from that.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a step up from some of the other stuff that's gone on in Oakland. People pay attention to it in the news. They know it's an active place of social justice that likes to express itself and has a long history of that, which we celebrate. And it's just a few knuckleheads that sometimes step over the line that make it bad for everybody.
But you. It's funny, you know, with all of that, you couldn't have maybe put on the parade so effectively, so efficiently, without all the other events that you've planned and all those relationships that you've built with all the cops and the public works folks. It's so much of it is about relationships, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of trust involved. I've been with the city 14 years. We had done a holiday parade for 13 of those 14 years, and of course a big music and arts festival I put on every year and all that. So when we gather together, and I don't want to toot my own too loudly, but when I'm in the room and they're in the room and they all look around and go, yeah, we can do this. We're all trusting to know each other. This is exactly what we need to do. And they're going to trust that I'm telling the truth. I'm not going to blow smoke up their pantaloons.
Is that what they wear at the Oakland's meetings? Pantaloons?
They do. They take a little thing out of the reduced Shakespeare.
Good times have really changed here in Oakland. That's great. So, yeah, I've got a city. I've got a lake. Let's put on a show.
Yeah, no, it was a magical, very important day. Oakland really needed it. It was an antiseptic in many ways. It allowed for the rest of the nation to see what an amazingly beautiful city it was. If anybody has seen the footage, it's fantastic. Look it up. The lake really shined. It was beautiful, sunny, great people, no incidents, no concerns. I mean, it was magical. And we're going to do it again next year.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your massive production via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, parade clown Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to David Fester. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Frank Malicote from KPIX Channel 5 in San Francisco. Thanks also to Jim McElvain, the City of Oakland, and the Golden State Warriors for such a wonderful season and championship. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 446 1338ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
The most important thing coming out of it that we found is the night of the clinch, that Tuesday evening, we were all holding our breath because we've seen it in every community around the United States, Vancouver, Chicago, Boston, LA. The crazies come out, the nuts come out. They burn things, they break things, they spray things. And so Oakland was pristine. Celebratory, noisy, fireworks, awesome, but it was a lovely night.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.